Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and sitting next to me, back from a long illness, is John Delorier, Delorier Roofing, Savannah, Georgia. How are you feeling there, John?
Still sick, Dave. Still sick.
You know, I was saying, you look sick, but... Anyway, the show must go on. We're professionals, and let's get it done. We just had a great interview with Elizabeth Lytle and with Contractor Dynamics. That was awesome. I really learned a ton. How about you, John?
He is a very good fit for that organization. Definitely a benefit for Joseph Hughes. Yeah, we talked about a lot of good stuff, a lot of a holistic approach of how, what to expect. Maybe your mindset of yourself as an owner of a roofing business or a sales manager, like just, there's a lot of good conversations that we had. Definitely a good podcast.
Yep. Loved it. Well, let's do a short intro because I want to hear what's going on. We talked briefly about your rebranding your business. Mm-hmm. That is a big deal and really kind of comes down to what we talked about here in marketing and so forth. Tell us about that. What's going on and how's it going?
Yeah, this is definitely timely for me because your brand, people talk about brand a lot. Brand and marketing are two different things that are very closely connected. So a lot of the same questions you're going to ask about like who your ideal customer is, who your target market is, like where that is, those are all things that you're going to be thinking about when you're rebranding because you're trying to enhance your ability to serve your customer, your ideal customer. So I've been going through a lot of these things, processes with rebranding. We've bought the URL. We're getting first drafts of truck wraps. We've got Hook Agency going to redo our website. Not completely, but because they just built it last year, but they're going to help with make sure that everything online and on the website is matching up with our new brand. Obviously, apparel. All of our marketing, all of our, like dope marketing we have to do all of that stuff. So it's a lot of work. It'll probably take about 60 days, a lot of work on the naming of the business, working with RoofQuote Pro to make sure that's all correct. We're just trying to make it easy for customers to find us, an easier name than Delorier. It's very easy to spell, easy to say. So we're excited. It feels good to me because my name is Delorier. It was Delorier Roofing. And for my entire life, I thought about this yesterday. My entire life has been difficult to respond to people who ask how to say my name. They've said that to me for almost 40 years now. So now I have the ability to not have that with my business. It's no one's ever going to ask how to say it or how to spell it. It's going to be great. So I'm really excited personally, but then also just to encourage my team, because from everything from Kathleen answering the phone to any type of marketing and sales, it's just going to make our entire job easier to serve our customers.
Well, it's awesome you're doing this. I mean, you run a successful business. You've been in business for a long time. That's a big decision to make. But I agree. I mean, sooner the better, because the further along you go and more you push it off, it's something you got to consider. Take action, man. I love what you're doing. And you got a plan. You're executing, taking action. It's going to cost you a lot of money, but obviously you see it as a great investment.
Absolutely. We talked about with Elizabeth on the podcast, we talked about budgets for marketing. And the idea of having a strong brand, if you do genuinely have a strong brand, then you're in general going to make your marketing costs decrease because people are going to understand how strong it is, and they're going to identify your brand. They're going to know how to get a hold of you a lot easier. And if you have a good marketing strategy with that strong brand, for every single roofing business, not just roofing, but any home service business, you'll spend a lot less as a marketing budget if your brand is really, really strong. So yeah, it definitely works together. So that's what I'm trying to do, trying to reduce our marketing spend. At the same time, having a better brand and a better appearance and message for our ideal customer.
Yeah, you're right. It's the gift that keeps on giving, you know. It's like SEO, building a good website. You plant that tree, you know, when's the best time? 10 years ago, second best time is today. And you nurture that. It's going to pay off, but you're right. Well, of course you're right. That's how you know, you're going to reduce your marketing spend because more people are going to know you over time. It's a name that sticks. Your SEO is kicking in, so you're getting more calls coming in. So I love it. Well, good stuff. We got a long interview, got a lot of stuff that we covered. So let's just jump into this. But before we do, real quick, you know, this is what we talk about. You can have all the leads you want, but if you're not answering your phone, it doesn't matter. So I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Ruby, because they will answer your phone.
Support for the Roofer Coach podcast comes from Ruby, the number one customer communication solution for growing roofing businesses. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new customer intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. For more information, visit get.ruby.com/theroofercoach for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you powered by Ruby.
All right. Well, let's get into our interview with Elizabeth with Contractor Dynamics. Elizabeth, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you too. I'm great. So glad to be here. An honor to be on the show.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. We've had Joseph Hughes on a number of times. You know, I guess he'd be your boss. But we had him back on episode number 259, and that was how to get more qualified leads. Had a great conversation there. And episode 321, which is take control of your marketing. And that's really what I want to get into today. Again, we'll revisit that. But give us a little elevator pitch on what you're doing and what's going on there with Contractor Dynamics.
Well, like Dave said, I'm Elizabeth. I'm our integrator here at Contractor Dynamics, and that is EOS language for COO. And what we do at Contractor Dynamics is marketing training. So we are often mistaken for an agency, and the difference is that we do not do done-for-you services. What we like to call what we do is done-with-you, meaning we are equipping business owners and companies to take control over their marketing so that they can create predictable growth. So we provide hands-on marketing training so that you can build an in-house marketing system inside your business. We help people build that marketing machine that's going to be scalable. That way, the business owner has a good understanding of what's going on with their marketing, even if you continue to utilize an agency for maybe your Google Ads or your SEO, for example. You're now equipped with the knowledge that you need to hold them accountable, to be like we like to call the GC of your marketing. So ideally, we're working with somebody who's got somebody in the business who's focused on marketing every single day so that you're farming your market. So we're going to help people review all of their marketing, make sure their tracking is tight, make sure they know how to create a marketing plan, they know how to run ads, they know how to actually have results-driven marketing. So yeah, that's what we're doing at Contractor Dynamics. We work with companies all over the country in, you know, the wild, wild west of Texas and people out in Jersey and all over, whether they're insurance or retail, commercial, residential. And we are niche down to the roofing industry because that's really helped us develop a proven blueprint for this industry. All of our checklists and examples are roofing specific, which has helped us develop this amazing community of really incredible clients. We get to work with some pretty awesome business owners, and they are learning from us, but we really learn a lot from them too. So it's a blast.
Well, I know it works because we've got a couple of our clients that we've sent over, and they're awesome. Active in the program, and they love it. They're learning. John, what's your thoughts?
I think it is the way. I definitely need a lot of help in that department as well. I'm always learning as well. And because of ProLine has, we just hired our own marketing manager. It's been eye-opening for me to see having that person that's there every single day focusing on marketing, how exponential that impact is and how much I want it in my roofing business. So we're rebranding too. And so I really am excited about what we're going to talk about today and just learning in general about in-house marketing and just marketing your roofing business.
Well, I'm a contractor, let's say, and I don't know much about marketing. And I was just going to go out and hire an agency. Well, actually, I've hired a few agencies and they haven't worked out. But you tell me why I should learn this myself. And, you know, it's just one more thing that I need to take care of that takes me away from my business, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there's a couple parts to that. The first part is that you've got to get into why your relationship with an agency doesn't work. And there's a couple of different things. So at Contractor Dynamics, we are not anti-agency. There are some great agencies out there. There are. However, here's what happens. And I hear this all the time. I actually sit in with our prospects right now. And so I'm hearing all of these problems that are going on. What happens is that people want to hire an agency and then be hands off. They want to throw money at the problem and help have someone else grow the business for them, right? But here's what happens. Inevitably, many times when you do that, your brand is represented in a way that is not exactly what you wanted. The marketing messaging is a little off. You're targeting people who are not your ideal prospect. You are throwing money at a problem where you're just saying, book an inspection, book an inspection, book an inspection, and not providing any value. So the leads that you are generating are going to be people who are kicking the can down the road. They're the price shoppers. Again, that's not going to be your ideal target audience. And when you primarily focus on that and not building that brand, again, you're going to get to the end of your relationship with that agency and have nothing to show for it. You know, maybe you've gotten some leads, but your brand is not stronger. You're not future-proofing your business. So a part of that is you can't be hands-off with an agency. If you are going to hire an agency, you have to be the one casting the vision. You have to set the marketing messaging. You need to be the one creating the content because no one knows your process and your customers better than you, right? So for John's company, you know your customer's buying process. You know what they're looking for. You know what they resonate with. You know the questions they're asking, the hesitations they're getting. So you need to be the one steering that ship so that everything that you're putting out there is accurate with what you want your brand to be remembered by, right? Because our brand is what people say about us or what they remember about us when we're not in the room. And that means you need to be the one steering that ship. You need to be in charge of what that message looks like. So that's a part of that, is that we go wrong with agencies when we rely completely on them to be in charge of the way that the brand is represented and the ads that we're putting out. The other piece of that is that when you are able to take your marketing in-house and you have complete control, there's more transparency. There's more clarity. You're going to know, you're going to be able to track things effectively. You're going to be able to make sure that you're farming your market. Because let's face it, there are maybe 30% of people out there who are ready to buy a roof today. 70% of people are not. And if you're not focused on those people every single day, then you're not building a brand, right? We need to stay top of mind until they're ready to make a buying decision. And the best possible person to do that is the person who meets with the customers or the person who is at the helm of the ship, the person who knows what our goals are for next year, the person who knows what revenue we want to make next year, what markets we want to be in, what neighborhoods we want to saturate, what kind of projects we want to do, what our ideal customers are. So you're going to have that control when you bring things in-house that you're not going to have when you're relying on one of those third-party agencies. So there are a couple of different things there, but you are going to have so much more control, transparency, and confidence in the activities that you're putting out into those resources when you're in control of your marketing.
Well, I think what you said was that 70, 70% of your prospects are not ready to buy. Yep. And, you know, we look at the sales cycle, there's a lot more to it. And there's too many contractors that just say, oh, you're not ready to buy a roof. Boom, I'm out of here. They don't build a list. They have no email program. They have no campaigns. So yeah, that's a real problem and important that they have to, that they understand that. Also, I think as like with everything, whether it's sales or marketing or finance, as a business owner, you have to understand that. And you've got to have that basic understanding of how it works. Because if you're going to go out and hire an agency, you know, this is why it doesn't work, because you don't understand it. I think that's really important to get that education. Okay, so I'm buying into this. I'm a $2-3 million an annual sales contractor. Okay, we're going to work together. What do? How do we get started?
So here's how you get started, and here's why. If I can zoom out for just a minute, as a busy owner, you may not have that time to spend on it. That may not be your area of expertise. You may not love it. You may absolutely hate marketing, and that's okay. But somebody in the business has to focus on marketing every week. You've got to do that. Otherwise, you're going to struggle to grow your business year after year after year. And certainly if you want to scale, if you want to be, like we like to say at Contractor Dynamics, 5 mile famous in your area, you know, you want to be the go-to. You want to be, when somebody says, I've got a guy, you want to be that guy, right? And if you're going to do that, there's got to be somebody in your business who's focused on that. Now, again, if you've got an SEO agency or whatever, that's okay. But someone in-house who's on payroll, who's, you know, a W-2 employee, somebody needs to be focused on marketing. So with Contractor Dynamics, what we're doing is we're taking that owner and that marketing manager, that social media manager, that admin, whomever's primary responsibility is focused on marketing. We're taking both of them and educating both of them, because what we don't want is an owner who says, great, here's the person, y'all train him up and hope that runs well. Because sometimes what happens is that person leaves. Or sometimes what happens is that marketing manager is doing all of this work, but the owner doesn't have the expectations and the knowledge they need to hold them accountable or to provide them with what they need to be a revenue driving position. And that marketing manager position, that is a revenue driver. That's a force when utilized correctly. So what we're going to do is we're going to come alongside both of those, and we're going to support them and train them in everything from casting your vision, from creating an ideal profile, actually written down somewhere that everybody knows of who those customers are that we're looking for, right? Like not in your mind, actually written down like on a Google Doc or something that everybody sees, so that admin and production and project managers and salespeople, everybody knows who we're looking for. And our marketing person is equipped with what we need to be able to go find that person and attract them. So we're going to help with that. We're going to help with actually creating the best possible content that's going to be engaging to those 70% who aren't ready to buy yet, and the 30% who are ready, right? We need to create content for both. And here's the other thing is, on the content side, you guys might be working with a building owner. You might work with a homeowner. You might work with somebody who has an insurance claim. You might work with somebody who's just got an old roof and they just want a beautiful one replaced. Those are different buckets. So we're going to help you identify those and then create content for those. Then we're going to dig into the distribution side. We're going to help you look over all the channels that you should be using and then go put your content out so that you're getting in front of people organically, non-paid, like on social media or your website, and that you're also running the proper campaigns to get in front of thousands and tens of thousands of people every single week, because that's important too, right? We've got to get in front of people that we don't know. Then we're going to help you with the tracking side of things, because the moment you put something out that's a paid campaign, you have to be able to track. You want to be able to look at, you've done this hard work, you've created this content, you're spending your hard-earned dollars. You have to track every single effort to make sure that you're driving traffic to the right place, to make sure that you're grabbing attention in the right place. When people are looking at our content, but then they're not following through, why not? We need a plan for that data analysis and that tracking. So we're going to help support people with that. And then, of course, you know, the most exciting part on the sales side, we're helping with that. We're helping with the nurturing, the rehash, the kind of like John was saying, maximizing every single opportunity, making sure that we're following up and we're You know, we're providing that value so that you can demand the prices that you want. So we're helping with all of that. And as you can kind of hear when I'm talking through that, marketing touches every part of the business, right? It touches production, it touches sales, it touches recruiting. So there's a lot of work to be done, which can sound overwhelming, but when you've got a partner to walk you through those week over week with a, you know, a proven checklist of things to get that done, then your goals for the next year become extremely tangible. You can see that you've got a plan to be able to reach those. So that's what we're doing week over week with all of our clients.
Well, actually focus in on an ideal customer instead of spray and pray.
Yeah.
New idea. John, give us your thoughts.
Yeah. You stole all my comments.
I know. So it sounds like our business plan, John. I mean, it's exactly what we talked about in our coaching.
It's just goes back to the same thing we're talking about before, which is you can't just throw money at it. It's not, there's no silver bullet to anything that you can ever buy in the roofing industry. You really have to know your numbers. So you have to have a good accounting. You have to have a good admin. You have to answer the phone. You have to know your ideal customer. So you have to have data software that actually tracks that over time. So you have to see like which type of customer is the most profitable. What, like you need to analyze that so you can even market the correct way. I say this a lot. We're not roofing businesses. We're accounting, marketing, sales, admin, and then we do roofs. Like it's sure. I know we say that a lot, but it's true. Like that's the last thing you should be thinking about is like if you're in the business or you're starting a business or you've been doing this for 3 to 5 years and you're kind of stuck in a rut of like, why don't I make money or I don't have a consistent lead flow? That's how you need to think about your business. It's not about like just getting the next roof. It's about how did you get, you need to know why you got the roof. Mm-hmm. You need to have a plan on how to get the next one. And it's just, that's vastly overlooked in almost all home services, especially roofing. So what you're talking about and what Contractor Dynamics is providing is a really good holistic, more, it's not just marketing, it's holistic approach to the roofing business.
Sure. Yeah. And what you said about throwing money at a problem, this is one of the most common things that I hear. People will come to us all the time and say, well, we paid an agency, we've spent tens and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, we've hired the best experts, right? And what happens every time is that either you didn't know how to hold them accountable or you weren't tracking properly to be able to catch that earlier on that something was off there, or your agency, maybe, let's be honest, like we've got to take extreme ownership here. Maybe you didn't provide them with the content that they needed, right? Contractor Dynamics went to RoofCon down in Orlando last week, and we met with an agency came up and said, hey, I just wanted to meet you guys. I know technically we're in competition. We said, we're not in competition. Absolutely. We're offering two completely different things, and we absolutely support other agencies. You know, we know there are great ones out there. And he said, one of my biggest problems is I will ask owners to get me this video or this picture or this information or what promo are we doing, and they don't send it to me. How am I supposed to help them be successful that way? And so that's the other thing, is that as an owner, we've got to take extreme ownership of that. You can't just throw money at the problem. You have to support those agencies as well. We can't blame the agency if we don't provide them what they need to help us grow the business. So that's, you know, that's part of that. But yeah, throwing money at the problem, it does not work. I've never seen it work. It doesn't work. You have to be involved. And when you want to future-proof your business, you have to be willing to, you know, like roll up the jeans and do the hard work. That's just a part of that. Thankfully with marketing, when you do that work, it does get easier over time. And as you're more consistent, you're going to see that pay off a little bit easier, but you've got to do that hard work in the beginning. It's worth it though. It's worth it because then you're going to generate more referrals. You're going to generate more of those lifelong customers, right? Who refer us and review us over and over and over again. You're going to send your sales team to much better appointments. They're going to make more money. We're going to have less, you know, we're going to be more profitable. Everyone's going to be less stressed. You know, the impact that creates when you really take control of that marketing is massive.
Well, that's really the big problem with so much in this business, is that you've got to do the work. You've got to make these things happen. Yeah. And this is it's like pulling teeth, you know, there's so many things going on, but you have to understand this as a business owner. And just as John said, don't care if you're selling roofs or selling shoes, you know, you're running a business mm-hmm. and you got to do this. And if you don't like marketing and sales, then you're in the wrong business, because you have to understand that. And that's why I think it's so important to get these processes down so you understand it and you can not only teach somebody coming in, but really holding them responsible, being clear on the goals and managing these people, and whether it's hiring salespeople or hiring a marketing manager, you just don't do that and walk away and expect things to happen. You've got to manage, you've got to lead your people and stay on top of this, but having clear goals. But let's talk about just getting started. We always talk about starting our business plan with, number one, what's our business? You know, what do we do? Well, we do a little of this, we do a little of that. It's all over the place. So when you're trying to market to, we're trying to get down to that ideal customer, we don't even know what it is we're doing. We're selling siding, we're doing decks, we're doing all of these things. So how do you market to your customer? Because each one of those is going to have a different plan. But how do you go about that? I mean, shouldn't we start there with identifying our ideal customer, and then we can go out there and find where they're hanging out?
Sure, absolutely. Let's be honest. When you first open your doors, you may be doing a little of taking whatever comes your way, right? We got to keep the lights on. So sure, in the beginning, you may kind of take whatever you get. However, after, you know, a short period of time, you should have enough data to be able to identify the projects we love the most, the customers we absolutely love to work with, you know, the ones that are maybe the easiest, maybe they're paying in cash, maybe they're not haggling, maybe they live in certain areas, maybe they, you know, want certain kinds of systems, that kind of thing. Maybe the projects that takes us the least amount of time, or maybe we like longer projects, whatever. After a period of time, you should have some data back. So what you should do is sit down and decide, where are we going? Cast a vision. Make sure you've got that written down and communicated to your people. What do we really want? And dig into that. That's so important to know, because if you don't really know what you want, you're going to be out there marketing to everybody, which means no one's going to grab a hold of that, right? You've got to be focused with your message. So while you may take kind of whatever in the beginning, as quickly as possible, sit down and identify, we love to work with these people and do these services. So this is our ideal client avatar. And then once you do that, here's what you're going to do. So let's say John is my ideal client, right? Well, where does John live? What kind of house does he live in? What size is it? What kind of system does it have? What questions did he ask me? What did he look at before he came to me? Where do his kids go to school? Like, let's get a little bit creepy. Like, let's dig in as quickly as possible, because here's what will happen. Then we know, all right, we're going to go sponsor some schools in our area. We're going to go hang out in these local Facebook groups. We're going to go create this messaging because John is our ideal customer. So where does John hang out? Well, he hangs out on LinkedIn and Facebook. We're going to show up on LinkedIn, on Facebook, right? So as much as specific as you can be with that ideal profile and ideal job type, the better. Because your marketing messaging is going to be so tuned in that you begin to attract those people, right? And the reason you got to do that in the beginning is because, again, you might have different buckets of ideal customers, which means you need to create different marketing messaging for those people. Your commercial building owner is going to be different from the stay-at-home mom who looks out of the blinds and is watching your guys and counting nails in the yard. Like, those are going to be different messages. So it's important to identify that as early on as possible. So that while, again, you may still do some of those other projects, your marketing is going to reflect the most ideal projects and people. So you're attracting more of those. So absolutely, it's vital. And whether you are going to do this in-house, which obviously we recommend, or not, you have to identify that, have that documented, and communicate that with literally everyone in your business and everyone who's doing anything for your business. So that's going to be third parties and in-house people. Everyone needs to be on the same page with the vision, our ideal project, our ideal prospect, so that we're all on the same page with our communication, with our follow-up, with our messaging, all of that. That's going to be huge for being able to build the business that you actually want to have.
So we're talking about coming up with our avatar. John, what makes it that one customer that we wish we had 100 just like?
And I mean, I just went through this. So since we're rebranding, I'm having to think about all these questions myself and reviewing data and looking at like who I want to target with our new logo, who I want to target, like what, you know, I got a house and a truck wrap proof a second ago. I'm like, that's not the message that I want to communicate. Like, that doesn't you know, that's a third party that needs to understand how, what the type of customer we're targeting. There's so many things that go along with doing a brand that I've been neglecting for years that it's going to help with the marketing side of things, because I want to target the right. We know very well, we have an office in Savannah, Georgia, and one in Athens, Georgia. They're two different types of ideal customers there. Sure. So you really have to know that. And you really need to look at not just the profitability, but like the, I guess the, there's not really a gauge other than, I mean, people write 5-star reviews that you don't like, but you want the people that are most likely going to write the 5-star review every single time. That's my gauge for it, because it's what personally I love, but also it helps the business, I feel like, the most. As long as it's a profitable job, that's essentially how I mold my entire brand. Our entire company is based off, like, did the customer have a good enough experience to take the time to write the 5-star review? And so everything that I do with marketing is going to be surrounded with that. It's one thing to love us, but there's a number of reasons why people won't write a 5-star review. They don't like technology. They don't want to be online. They don't have a Gmail, whatever the reasons. Well, we don't want to target those people. We want to target the people who are going to be more likely to do that. And they're going to also appreciate the professionalism that we offer, the types of roofs that we install, the complete roof systems, the warranties, the landscape protection, all those things. That's how we're going to market moving forward. Like, we're going to target those types of people. Like, we're not going to target the people that are just looking for the lowest price, like all those things that we don't want. That's how I've been working through this the past couple of weeks, being sick at the same time. But like, I get like, that's, it's very good for me. I've thought these things a lot, and we've written down a lot over the years, but it's also really good to review. I mean, I do it every 6 months because it's constantly changing. Like, as the economy changes, okay, we talked about this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, Dave, the financing piece. Okay, so now we're doing more financing than we've ever done. We've done more financing this year than we've done in the past 7 years combined. So now we have to focus on our marketing plan for those types of customers. Like, they may still meet all these other check boxes, but they're going to finance. So now we have to, you know, create a marketing plan for that too. So it's important not just to, again, not just to set it and forget it, but actually have something, like, you have your ear to the ground all the time with who your ideal customer is. That's just what I see in my business.
Absolutely. You know what? One of the things that we do that maybe people forget is a part of marketing is having those marketing meetings. Meaning, you know, the whomever focuses on marketing, again, no matter what stage you are, if that's, you know, you, the owner, the operator, if that's your social media person, if that's a full-time marketing manager or a host of marketing people, you know, in your giant business, those people need to be meeting regularly. That, you know, you obviously need to have a weekly marketing meeting, of course. You should also do some quarterly meetings where those people are getting together and they're reviewing analytics. They're looking over what you're doing. They're talking to the owner. They're like, hey, is this still the direction that we're going? Let's talk about these trends. If we're doing more financing, we need to adjust here. So that constant open communication loop is important. And the other piece of that you're talking about is that a marketing department should never operate in its own silo. It should not be on an island. The marketing department is most successful when they are collaborating with the sales team as well, and the rest of the team, but primarily sales, because the sales team, they're on the ground, they're boots on the ground. They're getting the questions. They're getting the hesitations. They know, oh my gosh, we love Mrs. Smith. She's incredible. She was great the whole time. She brought us lemonade on the job. She did this, this, and this. She talked about us to all her friends. She went to the country club and told everybody about us. And then she went in her Facebook groups and told everybody about us. Well, we want a bunch more of Mrs. Smith's, right? So the marketing team needs to know that, just like you're saying, it should be one of those rolling things where it's never set it and leave it and let's do this all year. We're going to evaluate. So those meetings are going to be really valuable to make sure that you're staying really dialed in there. That's absolutely right.
When we're talking about referrals, you want these people to refer you to like-minded customers. Absolutely. Because if you're marketing to cheap screws, you know, the people that they hang out with are cheap screws. So that's not where you want to be. You want to be marketing to people that want to buy your services and understand that it's just not on the low, on the lowest price. So here's something, you know, we talk about really focusing down, understanding what our business is. I have a lot of contractors. They want to do storm. They want to do retail. That's a totally different marketing strategy. What do we do in that situation?
Sure. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is don't rely on storms to run your business. that is going to be a painful road. You know what I mean? I get it. I understand. We rejoice when a storm comes through. I understand. But if that's your only plan, that's a shaky business plan, right? So you need to be marketing all year long. You have to be marketing all year long, not just in the hot season. And you need to make sure that you're building a plan for reaching those people who are, you know, they don't necessarily have a claim right now. You know, they don't have that insurance check right now. You need to be dripping on all of the people in your market. We hear all the time from people in those, you know, like, let's say, you know, DFW or some places in Florida, although I know that is a mess right now with insurance and everything. We hear all the time, people will say, well, you absolutely can't do any other work. You only can do storm work here. However, in every single one of those markets that I just mentioned and all those little towns, there are existing people right now that are doing other work or they're working claims for long periods of time. If you're only talking about those storms that are top of mind for you, the roofer, the homeowners have forgotten about that for a long time. So you can't just say like, did you get affected by hail? Come get an inspection by us. Well, unless I have a giant hole in my roof right now, or I, you know, pull up to my house and it's just peppered with, you know, hailstone hits and all that, that's not top of mind for me, which means you need to give me a reason to want to move. There's got to be some kind of reason. So you have to adjust your marketing to meet those people. So obviously those messages are going to be different. The sales cycle is going to be different. The buying process is different and you're going to need to adjust your marketing accordingly. But we would tell people market nonstop all the time. Give them a reason. Grab their attention. Make sure that you're staying top of mind, whether there's a storm or not.
And that's, well, of course, you're exactly right. But this is, you know, what we say, of course, is, you know, oh, hey, we don't have any leads for next week. We got to start a marketing plan where it is consistent, putting on the gas and taking it off and this and that. I don't think that works. Let's just start with budget, for instance. You know, I don't think people spend enough money for marketing. You've got to have a marketing budget. You've got to set this up. How do we start off with that? And we need to know that before we can start talking about tactics of what we need to do. Don't you think?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you this, with marketing, there are two types of currency in marketing. It's going to be your actual dollars and then your time. And I get it that when you first start out, there may be absolutely no budget or very little budget. And that's okay in the beginning, because there are plenty of things that you can do that require time. There are organic things that you can do. Social media, for example, still free somehow. It's still out there and free. And you can show up on social media every single day, multiple times a day. And social media has the power to drive traffic to your website right there. Excellent branding, excellent use of time. That's a great way to move the needle. Those Facebook groups, people are in those Facebook groups every single day, looking for a roofer, looking for some recommendations, looking for some help. Those are excellent sources. So there are things that you can do just with your time. So that is going to be a currency. And there is never going to be a time when you're not going to use both. You need to be using both at all times. So whatever money you can scrape up in the beginning and your time. And then as you go on, you need to be utilizing both. Absolutely. So when you get to the point where you can be spending, you know, some kind of dollars on marketing, and we would push that you do that as soon as possible, because you need to stay in front of people, even when you're flushed with leads, you still have to be farming your market, because at some point you're going to run out of those and you have to be developing a brand all along, whether you've got a ton of leads or no leads. So we recommend 4 to 5%. So what you're going to do is reverse engineer your goals and that 4 to 5% of revenue to figure out how many appointments you need, how many leads you need, how many qualified leads you need. And then that way you have a goal to go to utilize. And then there's your scorecard. You can help your, if you've got a marketing manager, you can say, this is how many leads we need for the year in order to get to that revenue goal that we've got for next year. So let's say that, you know, our revenue goal for next year is, you know, $3,000. No, not 3 grand. three million. $3,000 You know, maybe if you're starting out, three million. Then we're going to reverse engineer that to figure out, you know, what's our average job price, right? Well, what are we? What about is our cost per acquisition? And as I go through this, you can see how important it is to know your numbers. You're not going to be able to come up with that if you don't know your numbers, right? So it's important to have that tracking. It's important to make your people update the CRM accurately. It's important to make sure that we're, you know, we're not keeping everybody in some manila folders in that file cabinet in the back of our office. We actually need some kind of a system that's digital where we can keep up with these things. So figure out what that, you know, average job price is for those, especially for those ideal customers. You know, what is that price? Then what are we going to pay for appointment? What are we going to pay for a lead? How many leads does it take to get a qualified appointment? And then that way you're going to know what your, you know, cost per lead is. You're going to know what you need to spend. You're going to know what channels you need to show up on. You're going to know what your lead count needs to be every single month to be able to reach that goal. So again, we would say 4 to 5% if you want, and if you're wanting to 10X everything and you can do 10, that's fine. The goal should always be to reduce those marketing costs over time so that you are building the brand and generating more of those referrals. You're generating more of those people who are actively reaching out to you. That's why we're so passionate about bringing this in-house, so that you can literally take your salespeople and develop their own, you know, personal brand as an extension of your company, to where they're going out and they're the go-to guy, so that you are literally, referrals are your highest lead source, and referrals are the best possible customers. That way you're always spending money on branding, but you're not always having to exhaust that call to action content. Does that make sense?
Totally. We just did a podcast a few weeks ago when we talked about our sales process and so forth. And those were exactly the numbers, you know, that we were talking about. John, you know, you've got a great CRM, you know, in ProLine. You just talk with a lot of contractors. How do we track all of this? What are some of the problems that you see? Because we've got to have good information. If we don't know what's working, what's not working, we're not going to spend our money effectively.
You know what, Dave, if you want, I can talk to that a little bit while we get John back on the air. Is that all right?
Let's go ahead. I kind of like him muted like that. Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
He's back. Let's hear what
you hit your cough button too many times.
So. Probably did. All right. So Elizabeth has been listening to the podcast because she's basically copying everything we were saying all the time.
I know. Exactly.
So knowing, you know, all those things are really important. The KPIs, the key performance indicators, are important. You know, knowing, here's one thing. It's the why behind the profit margin. So why do you need to make X percent on these jobs? Like, the salesman's going to have more confidence to know this is why we need to do this, because we have 4 to 5% of our revenue needs to go to marketing. This is how we got this lead. This is like, these are all important things for the entire company to know. Like, everyone who's working in admin and accounting, they all need to know this, because it creates a better sense. Like, no one's feeling like, I often have seen this, where someone's like, well, they're just making all this money. Well, there's a reason why each job needs to be this profitable, because we have these budgets for these things and we will execute these plans with this money. And it's really, really important. I know we talk about KPIs a lot, but the culture behind the why of why we have these budgets is almost as important, if not more important, because people need to understand that. They need to understand, like, not just what we're tracking, but why we're tracking it and why we're pricing jobs this way. And it will help sales, because sales will grow. Each salesperson will be confident that their pricing is correct. It's not like, you know, they're not looking at a $10,000 profit. They're looking at, okay, well, this is, there's still 5% of this is going to marketing. We need to market so we can continue to get these leads in these neighborhoods and things like that. So That's just my initial thought, because Dave and I talk about what you said a lot. But the secondary part of that is the why, and to help make sure transparency. That's what it is a lot of owners are not transparent with this type of, you've said this many times in the past 45 minutes, make sure everyone on the team understands the marketing plan. Well, transparency in all parts of the business. I share, I mean,
everyone has access to our QuickBooks on my team. I don't care. Like, they can see it all. It does not matter to me, because they need to know. They can see the good and the bad. They can see basically what comes in and what goes out, and why, like, why is this going out? Like, where did that go? Like, they need to understand. I just think there needs to be more transparency in general in small business. Small business around the country, you'll have fewer turnover too, because you have better culture, because there's better transparency. So marketing is one of those things where you have to have complete transparency. It's not just the marketing team. It's not just the marketing and the sales team. The marketing team needs to understand, like, the accounting and administration. Everyone needs to, in production, they all need to understand why they're even there. Why is the boss spending money on this marketing person? Like, that's why they need to understand it.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. I'll say one of the things that I think, just speaking to our team at Contractor Dynamics, I am biased, obviously, as the integrator. And as the integrator, one of my jobs is the leadership of the people, right? They're accountable to me. I am in charge of managing our priorities and leading our people. And one of the things, which is exactly what you're saying, is transparency, making sure that we're doing a good job of those cascading messages to the team, making sure that we're able to retain the best possible people by having that transparency, by being open, by casting that vision consistently, by making sure that everybody on the team is aware of what the core values are, that we're all living those out daily, and that we're showing that in our marketing content too. That's a huge part. So, you know, I know in this industry, one of the most common things I hear from owners is, yeah, well, we're hiring a bunch of new salespeople because we, you know, there's huge turnover in terms of salespeople. And the people who have the most success are the people who hire and fire and live by core values. And they're not just out there hiring those hired guns, right? They're looking for people who share their values. They're looking for people who have bought into the vision of the company. They're looking for people who are not necessarily like the absolute best roofing salespeople. They're looking for the people that they want to be aligned with, that they want to grow a business with. And then that's how you are going to retain those people. Incidentally, those are also going to be the people that are going to attract those customers that you're looking for, right? Because you guys are all going to be aligned. So that it all works together. You're absolutely right.
John, we got to get one of those integrators, you know. I think, you know, as being the visionaries and so forth of as entrepreneurs, you know, we need
yeah, Dave and I are not great at integrators. We're not good.
Well, in wrapping up, here's what everybody wants to know. Hey, how do I get more leads? Like to get your thoughts on this, but we're really seeing a slowdown in the economy. You know, there's fewer searches being made for roofing. Leads are falling off. So now, where before, you know, I mean, fish are jumping in the boat, you know, you had more leads that you could handle, more business. So hopefully you made a ton of money in the past, 5 years or so. But what do you think? Do you think things are slowing down? And number one, and number two, how do we get more leads? What do we do? That's the question. How do you respond to that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll say this. One of the beauties of having clients all over the country in all kinds of different markets is that we get all the different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got people who this year said they had their absolute best year. Last year had their best year. We've got some people who say this is their slowest year. So it's there's a huge wide variety. You know, some people are killing it, some people are not. And of course, that is going to be based on the strength of your brand. It's going to be how long you've been in business. It's going to be depending on what your goals were, of course. But here's the thing. There are still people out there getting their roof replaced. What's different now is that you have to focus on differentiating and demonstrating your value. So, for example, when John was saying, sometimes salespeople are like, why are we this expensive? Or, you know, why is our price like this? Well, your market wants to know the exact same thing. They want to know why are you $5,000 more than the guy down the street? So one of the biggest things that you need to do is demonstrate your value before the appointment. which means you have to follow the attention. If the attention is on social media, go show your value there, because you're going to be, again, farming that market, and you're going to find the people who are looking for value, and they're out there. There are people still out there. You know, it's not like the economy breaks and now everyone is just, they're just living with a hole in their roof. That's not happening. You know what I mean? We're getting work done. There are people out there who need their roofs replaced. They need exterior services, but they need to see the value. They want to have that certainty. So we all want more leads, right? But that's usually a symptom. Usually the issue is we have to build the brand. There's a weakness in your brand. You have to be able to demonstrate that value and have that really strong brand. Because when we trust a brand, when we have certainty, people are willing to pay a little bit more, right? People don't stop that subscription because they know, you know, like maybe it's a little tight this month, but I know I'm going to be able to get X, Y, and Z, right? So it's so important to make sure that you're doing those brand building activities. So when it comes to doing more, getting more leads, I get it. We all want more leads yesterday. So there are some things that you should be doing. There was a recent study that showed that people, the average American spends 2 to 3 hours on social media every day, maybe not in one block, but constantly checking, right? Which means we've got to follow the attention. Maybe someone is not going to pick up their phone and go, oh, nice, I'm going to go buy a roof today. However, they're going to see your brand. And then maybe they see it on your truck that drives through the neighborhood. And then maybe they're on Google and they see an ad, or, you know what I mean? There are all these little touches. So you have to stay in front of people. So follow the attention. That's going to be huge. And make sure you're showing up in that, in your ideal customer's buying process. So if you don't have the money to put towards Google, that's okay. You know what you're going to do every single day? Go upload the same pictures that you're putting on social media to your Google profile, because then you're going to get organic leads from Google, right? Go make sure that you're absolutely surfing those local groups. You're showing up, you're recommending other people, you're doing a shout out to the firefighter whose roof you just replaced. You don't have to promote yourself, but show up on all of those platforms, because you're going to generate more leads that way. So those organic efforts, don't stop doing those. The worst thing that you can do when leads are low is go out and say, Angie's, help me, or Home Advisor, help me, or what are these other third parties? I'm trying to think of them. You guys know them. We all know them. Mm-hmm. Those lead sources where 16 other contractors have them too, and you got to call them in 0.2 seconds to be able to actually get somebody to answer the phone or be the first one, right? That is how you're going to waste your money. And then your brand is not going to be stronger. If you start right now building your brand, right now, doing those activities, imagine how much stronger you're going to be in a month, and then 2 months, and 6 months, and in a year. So getting more leads is a symptom. There's so many different ways that you can do that, but following the attention. So search and social, those are big ones. Make sure you're hounding those, because you don't have to have a huge budget to do that. You've got your smartphone, right? Everybody's got their smartphone. You're taking those company cam pictures, or you're taking those documentation photos, right, for insurance. Just turn your phone around and take a couple more pictures, or take a couple more videos and put those out on social media, so you're showing up more, so you're attracting more people. So getting more leads, obviously, that's the hottest question for sure. And you know, I could probably give you a list of 50 things to do, but those are the top two. Right. Search and social. Show up.
John, you post every day. You're everywhere. I got to see this stuff every morning. You know, just getting out of this ice bath, or, you know, pumping all this iron and stuff in. It's awesome. So
I don't do enough, Dave. I don't do enough.
Yeah. Well, exactly. No. That's what I was going to ask you.
Way more.
How are you doing it? How's it working? Because you don't have a full staff and so forth. You're doing, you know.
So I use a lot of technology. I'll say that. I use, there's a bunch of scheduling apps. OneUp is the one I use right now. And it posts to, actually redoing it right now. So it'll repost. It has AI written keywords in there. It's an easy way. It's $30 a month to do your Google. I have two Google business profiles, so it automatically posts to there and to Facebook. It's just, and we get a lot of interaction from it. So it's something that it's very affordable to do. If you're like, I just can't do this every day. Okay, fine. We'll spend an afternoon and post 30 things that you have all. This is what I do. It's the they ask you answer. So, you know, Marcus Sheridan's book, just, you know, the questions that customers ask you, answer those questions and then click AI generate. So you have the questions and it'll continue the answer. You'll know if it's right or wrong. Post it with a picture of a roof you did. That's an easy way with hashtags and Google loves it. Facebook loves it. And then that's just the baseline though. But then post in stories as much as you can. Post as much organic content of what you're doing that day as much as you can every single day. Like, we all think that everyone's seeing our stuff all the time, but the algorithm does not work that way. You have to be posting multiple things a day, and it don't feel like I've just done my one post and I'm good to go. Like, if you want to be seen, you better be posting a lot, and it needs to be quality. It can't just be quantity. It needs to be quality for what you do and what makes you different. But that's what I do right now, and it does really work. People find me in all those things, Nextdoor, Yelp. But Yelp this year, we sold two huge roofs on Yelp this year. We've never sold on Yelp ever. Nextdoor sold another roof the other day. Like, never sold a roof on Yelp, on Nextdoor ever. So just be consistent with it and post as much as you can, as consistently as you can. That's quality.
Consistency. Exactly. All right. Last question. I've been holding you here, Elizabeth, and this is great stuff. I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of this, but last question. Hey, what's this 5 mile famous thing that you guys are always talking about over there?
Yeah. So when we say 5 mile famous, what we mean is it is going to be a high mountain to climb to try to cover your, you know, to cover a 30 mile radius and to be absolutely oversaturated and to be the go-to in that entire area. Right now, if you're in a more rural area, maybe it's 15 mile famous. Right. But the point is, there are enough projects to be done generally in a 5 mile radius. If you oversaturate that market with your logo and your content and your projects and your people and your values and your education, it's going to be a lot easier and simpler and lower budget to be the go-to in that particular area. And becoming 5 mile famous means you're creating that excellent content. You're generating those reviews. You're, you know, showing up in person, in search, on social. That means you are, you know, you're going to be doing some of those like Facebook ads or Google ads or something like that to where you're getting in front of tens of thousands of people, right? You are making sure that every job site is absolutely screaming your company. That means people are wearing apparel. You've got your yard signs. You've got the door hangers at the neighbor that says, pardon our mess, whatever, call me at this number. You've got, you know, maybe a wrapped trailer. You've got, if you don't have a wrapped trailer, we don't have the budget for that. You know, create something, get a, I saw someone be really creative lately where they had like a giant thing of plywood and they literally took a stencil of their logo and they spray painted it on there and it looks cool. You know, they made it. That's okay. Guess what? When people drove past, they're like, what is that? They see your logo. That's a touch. So a part of being 5 mile famous means being omnipresent. It means you are not putting all your eggs in one basket with your marketing. You're saturating that very small area. You're geo-targeting that area. And you're focusing on having the absolute best customer service so that you're generating those customers over and over and over. And then you're doing consistent storytelling in that small area. So you are specific to that location. You're specific to those people. And again, just showing up everywhere you possibly can. And when we talk about 5 mile famous, a lot of times that grabs people's attention. They're like, well, I want to be 5 mile famous. And it takes all of these activities that we're just talking about. And you know, the last thing I'll say on that is that people do business with people. If you are only showing up talking about the latest roof that you did and not your values or what's important to you or how you serve your community or you know, your processes, that kind of thing, then you're missing out. Because in order to become 5 mile famous, people want to know more than just like, here is this Owens Corning duration system and these are the 17 parts and this is how you do this with the underlayment. You know, that's fine. But most of the time, the roofers are going to pay attention to that. Your people want to know the story. So that consistent storytelling is one of the best ways you're going to be able to become 5 mile famous in your area.
Love it. I said that was the last question, but John, any final words?
It's a great way to end it.
There you go. You guys got a great program over there. I highly recommend it. You got Benny Fisher over there now. Oh my God. You know, Benny's coming on the show here in a couple of weeks. So awesome. Can't wait to talk with him. He's been on a number of times, but you got a great team. How do we get more information? What do we do? What should our listeners do to get in touch?
Yeah. Well, obviously you can go to our website. We've got case studies and video testimonials. We practice what we preach, right? So we've got all our reviews and our referrals. We've got that on our website. So you can visit our
Contractor Dynamics, right?
Contractor Dynamics. That's right. Yeah. So check out the website to learn a little bit more because it is obviously different. You know what I mean? It's not your average agency. So learn a little bit more if you're looking to bring things in-house and have some of that training. So go to our website. You can follow me, Elizabeth Lytle, on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. Obviously, we're showing up everywhere as well. You can follow Joe Hughes or Benny Fisher on those too. And we're showing up daily in you know, on social media and in our website as well. So check us out there. I actually take all of our calls. If somebody's interested in receiving some training, I'm personally taking all of those right now. Just again, to make sure we're working with our most ideal clients and to make sure that I'm giving tips and resources to people who maybe aren't right now. So there's a link on our website if you want to book a call to get a little more information, to get some resources or some feedback. I do an audit of people's social media, of their website and all of that before I hop on the call to make sure I can provide some value on that call, whether we're going to work together or not. So I'd love to, yeah, hop on some calls with y'all's listeners for sure.
Elizabeth, I love it. That was great. I learned a lot and really appreciate you coming on. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's show. If you want to get a copy of my new guide, 7 Steps to Getting More Qualified Leads for Your Roofing Business, go to my website at theroofershow.com, where you can grab it for free or click on the link in the show notes below. And as always, thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. We'll see you next time on The Roofer Show.